Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. If you haven't heard, we have just launched the new Union Pro Mentors program where you can take office hours with pro players from top leagues, get world-class coaching, do mindset workshops, have video breakdown sessions, get help with college recruiting, join parent education portals, and so much more, all exclusively for goalkeepers. So be sure to join Union Premium risk-free to take advantage of all there is to offer. Go to unionsports.com/join or the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks again for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to a very live and impromptu Inside the 18 from lovely Anaheim, California at the United Soccer Coaches Convention. I'm Michael Magid, flying solo right now because Saskia Weber is doing her best manager or agent representation right now. She's representing the brand strong over on the exhibit hall floor right now. If you guys, by the way, are live right now watching this on IG Live or YouTube or on the Union app or anywhere sorts of things like that, go to Exhibit Hall D. If you're at the convention right now, we are in Media Row. And joining me right now, because otherwise it would just be me talking to myself to a little tiny Mevo camera, is some of the crew from the Keeper Institute, the one and only TKI, as you all know. Everybody, introduce yourselves, starting with Cam.
Hi, you guys. I'm Cameron Stabline. I've been coaching at the Keeper Institute since I was like 14, 15. And yeah, pretty excited. First convention.
Very, very, very specific and vague right there at the same exact time. Like 14 and 15 years old, that's the age that I was. But I'm not going to give you any information actually what I do at the Keeper Institute other than coaching. Continue on, Annabelle.
Hi, everyone. I'm Annabelle Austin. I'm a player at UPenn. Also my first convention, but I'm really excited to be here.
So, cool. And Chris?
What's up, y'all? I'm Cristiano Gonzami. I am excited to be here. I'm one of the assistant coaches at Drexel. And, yeah, I'm excited to have this chat.
I love it. Everybody's excited to be here. I'm not going to lie. It's because you guys went to bed at like 10:30 last night. I went to bed at like 1:30 in the morning and then had to wake up at 7 a.m. and then drive all the way to the convention. So I don't even know what I'm saying right now, to be honest with you guys here. It's kind of all over the place. So first off, guys, before we kind of, you know, get into the topic and we're talking about kind of beginning your journey as a younger coach and kind of what resources you guys can provide to other young coaches out there. How did you all get involved in TKI? And Cam, obviously you've been doing it since you were 4 years old. So why don't you start off?
So actually, when I started my career at TKI, it wasn't at TKI, where I was at a club called the PA Strikers, and Jill actually happened to be the club coach. Funny little story. I was kind of tough to deal with.
Wait, like the team coach?
She wasn't the team coach. She was hired as the goalkeeper coach. So she okay. worked directly with me.
Okay.
She ended up quitting her job to get away from me. And then I tracked her down later on, went to a couple of her like combines she was doing early in TKI's career. She ended up deciding that I was pretty cool. I did a lot of self-work. I was like one of her first classes of interns, kind of lived with them for a little bit, worked. And yeah, the rest is history. Now I'm under her wing and doing the best that I can to keep going.
I love how you had you add in the under the wing part right there. Like just in case she's watching right now, I just want to let you know that I am in the guidance, but that is kind of the important thing. You know, Chris, obviously, you know, you're coaching at the kind of the collegiate level right now with Drexel and stuff like that. You know, you have some players probably who want to get into coaching. Like, so how important is it for them to see somebody like yourself make that transition from player to coach?
Yeah, you know, I think representation matters in any space, whether it's like women in coaching, it's people of color in coaching. I also think for them, it's a really cool transition to life after sport, whether they want to coach or they want to mentor or anything like that. So it's just a really cool opportunity to sort of bridge the gap to figure out maybe what is one potential thing they could do when they're done playing their sport in college. So.
One potential thing you could do when you're done playing your sport right there is get involved in demonstrations at a convention that take place literally in front of a podcast being recorded. Nothing makes it easier to record a podcast than a loud presentation taking place at the exact same time. Annabelle, why don't you talk a little bit about what you're up to right now?
Yeah, so I'm a sophomore at Penn, and over this past summer, I interned at the Keeper Institute, which was an amazing opportunity. Couldn't have spent my summer any other way. And then this fall, I started coaching, taking on some individuals, working with groups. Yeah, that's about it. Then I just keep doing that, and I've really learned a lot about coaching, and that's really helped me as a player as well.
Yeah, you know, now, obviously, all of you guys were coaching at the TKI, and they have that incredible internship program. I mean, Cameron, did you start the internship program because you were there since you were 2 years old? So
so I wouldn't say that I necessarily started the program. However, I was like kind of the first model where I came in and I was like, I want to coach, I want to play. How do I do that? And they kind of created this almost position where they're like, okay, you're going to coach, we're going to teach you a little bit, you're going to start taking on individuals, and for that, we'll like train you.
Yeah.
Which was great because I was about to go into college. I was super pumped for that. And then from there, it kind of developed more. Like, they opened up the internship. They created their first class. I was in their technically their second class of interns where I, like, had the official title. But I was kind of around the entire time and watched that intern come to fruition. I know Chris ran it for a little bit, which was awesome.
Wait, hold on. And by the way, guys, you guys don't need to wait for me to ask you a question. You can literally talk whenever you want.
Oh,
like,
perfect.
Yeah. But hold on. So you were running the internship program. Okay. So that feels like one of those types of situations where it's kind of like you're kind of like in a position of, I don't want to say power or but leadership with people that are almost your peers. Is that a difficult situation?
Yeah, I feel like, also when I started as a college coach, my first senior class were my freshmen when I was a senior. So there's always been interesting instances where you kind of have to manage boundaries, manage relationships. However, when I sort of got to start the internship class right after CAM, I started with high school kids and college kids at different points. So I think really what it was is if you can define your role particularly like well and set a boundary, then it's not necessarily an issue. But my goal as an intern director, when I was the intern director, is to just mentor them, to really, you know, pour into them, teach them how to coach, right? TKI is unique in the way that we do things, but it's more so what can you do so that you can develop your own thing, even if you are at TKI or you leave.
I love that, like that empowerment of the athlete themselves as opposed to, you know, them being spoon fed. Obviously, you know, Annabelle, you're still playing in college right now. Being in an environment like a TKI where you are free to explore, you know, and being empowered to like learn on your own as opposed to like the coach telling you what to do. Does that help you when you get back to the collegiate environment? Because now you're not expecting for all the questions to be answered for you.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And as a coach in that too, and kind of learning about how kids learn best and how exploration can help kids learn a lot more than if I were to just tell them what to do. I've really taken that in as a player as well. And when I get back to my team environment, especially when we jump in with the entire team, not just goalkeeper setting, it's more about like finding ways where I can explore and not really worried about making mistakes. I can kind of just explore, figure out what works for me.
See, I think one of the things that's really cool about that is like not worry about making mistakes, exploring that sort of thing. You know, Cam, I think one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of young coaches make, and I'm sure you all can attest for this, is feel like we have to coach. We have to be giving instruction all the time. We have to be breaking things down all the time. We have to, you know, and after a while you start realizing you're like, oh, I'm actually removing the thinking aspect of these goalkeepers and their development.
Yeah, and I think you bring a really interesting point. And like, I grew up in an environment where, yes, Jill was kind of changing her style of coaching as I was growing older and like moving away from technical, this is exactly the way that you have to do things. And my own coaching had to shift as I've gotten into this like evolution of goalkeeping. And one of my biggest struggles when I first started was like, I didn't always necessarily have the confidence to come in and command a room, being younger, being their same age. I know Chris didn't really struggle, but I really, really struggled to set that boundary and be like, okay.
Chris is like, yeah, I didn't struggle
at
all.
Chris is perfect.
Absolutely not.
But But yeah, no, I really struggled to, how do I have confidence in what I'm selling and then also breed confidence in the athlete to buy in?
Yeah.
And that was a big balance for me.
See, I want to talk about this because, you know, one of the problems I think, Chris, that happens with a lot of young coaches out there is like they try to be like coaches they know or what their idea of a coach is. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Cam is more of the outgoing type of vocal coach. And Chris, you're a little bit more cerebral in that regard. At what point did you start getting comfortable with your like, oh, I'm just going to be me when I'm coaching?
I don't know that there's ever been a time when I wasn't me when I was coaching. So you bring up the concept of being cerebral. I'm a therapist coach. I'm a coach therapist. It's kind of how I operate. And I feel like I've operated that way even from a young age when I was coaching as a high school kid. And some of it came from, I want to be the coach that I know I wanted when I was a player.
Yeah.
And some of that is, yes, you're pulling from the great stuff that your coaches have done in the past, the not so great stuff that your coaches have done in the past. But a lot of times it's just having the willingness to go where the athlete wants to go. If you can make space for your athlete and be flexible and adaptable to do what, like, support them in the best way that they need to be supported. That's helpful. And also being able to serve athletes from different backgrounds, different experiences, all that stuff really stretches you in terms of flexibility. But even still, it's not really about winning the approval of the athlete right then and there. It's not really about trying to be the smartest person in the room. If you can engage with it with curiosity and just humility, I think you can empower your athlete, but also you can continue to learn and say, oh, I said it this way. Maybe that's not the best way to do it. Let's try and learn about it in a different way. So, yes, as humble and as curious as you can be as a coach, I think makes you the most secure within yourself because you're not trying to be like somebody else and you're not trying to be everything for your athlete at all times.
Speaking of secure, Annabelle, you're very secure being in an environment with such grizzled veteran coaches right here as still a consistent player yourself right now. I want to talk about one thing that happens with a lot of young coaches is when they've been coaching a lot. And this happened to me. I go back into my playing environment. And now I start recognizing that I'm trying to be a coach in that environment as opposed to the player. How do you separate that so that you don't start like, so you still feel like you're part of that community with that goalkeeper union as opposed to like, they're like, oh, well, she's telling me what to do type of a thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely one of the things I've struggled with re-entering my college team after the summer, especially because I'm also on the leadership council for my team. So I do have this role a little bit.
I feel like everyone who's been through TKI is on some sort of leadership program at their school. Like it comes with the territory. Like on the application process, like Jill and Marie are just like, they're like, are you involved in any sort of leadership? They're like, okay, if you're not, you're not going to get this into. We continue.
Yeah, but I think that one of the biggest things I've found has helped me is to approach my teammates as people first and just understand that when I'm talking to them and maybe I do have a point or like something that could come across as coaching, well, they're my teammates first and they're my friends and I can address them in that way. And that's really helped separate the like coach player dynamic.
Yeah. Cam, I want to ask you this, you know, in regards to like what you were kind of talking about with like, you know, the exploration and everything like that. There's a difference between exploration and just being a lazy coach and just being like, oh no, they're exploring. I'm like, well, that guy is doing somersaults for some reason. Like, so at what point do you step in?
Yeah. So I think something that really separates the good coaches from the great coaches is this intuition of what your athlete needs. I think too often coaches come into this space and they're repeating information, right? They're repeating what they've heard. They're trying to intercept in that way. And so much of coaching is based on who you're actually working with. I watch a kid from the minute they walk in the door and figure out when it is that they're going to need support. And you can start to see it. They're getting frustrated. Okay, let's take a pause. Where are you struggling? And I think the biggest difference is not necessarily exploration versus like, okay, I'm not stepping in at all. It's what does my athlete need to be successful and how can I get them there themselves and not give them the answers. That is more about the exploration. They explore, even if we know the answers, they explore and find their own way there.
See, it sounds like a lot. You're talking about coaching behaviors and Chris, obviously somebody, you know, who's involved on the whole psych side and everything like that. You understand how important it is to recognize your coaching behaviors and recognize when you speak in a certain tone, when you don't speak in a certain tone. And I don't want to say that you're manipulating the athlete, but like you're trying to get you're trying to convey information in a way that they understand it. And sometimes it's going to take a certain type of direction. Other times it can take other type of direction, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we operate through language, some of which is like overt. I'm talking to you and I'm trying to portray it in this one, in one way. Some of which is covert. It's my body language. It's the tone I'm using. All of it matters. And I think for coaches, if you only really care about the content of what you're saying, your actual words and whatever, then you're missing the mark. Because what ends up happening is you can create athletes that can regurgitate information as they do in school all day, every day, but they don't actually know how to apply things. They don't actually know how to deal with the emotions of it, like Cam sort of talking about. Like, what does it feel like to do this new thing I've never done before? I can, like, dump all information on you, but I'm not acknowledging that, no, you're anxious because you've never done this before. So what I think is important is it's more about what you don't say, but it's also more so about the process that gets them to actually where you want them to go. And I think with that point, a lot of new coaches, any coach really, can have imposter syndrome and feel like I have to be the smartest person in the room. I have to know everything. I have got to solve a problem. But all like the joy of the process is watching them explore, is watching us explore even how to teach new concepts. That's how you really see people grow. And that's how you really see people learn to have a bit of autonomy also. But you've got to be patient. And I don't think a lot of us are very patient.
Patience, that's the tough thing. And like, you know, Annabelle, how long have you been coaching now?
Like 3-4 months.
Okay.
She's a baby.
So people also have to be patient with you as a young coach, right?
For sure.
Yeah. And like, but like in regards to that, like, I think that's the problem a lot of times, especially when we're athletes and we're so competitive. I know me, when I was a young coach, I wanted it to all happen overnight. I wanted to be like, oh, well, I've got all this information. Like, why is it not working? Why is that kid still, you know, like diving on their stuff? Like, what am I doing wrong type of a thing? You know, and you start taking it out on yourself.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite parts about the Keeper Institute is there's so many coaches and each one has their own style and way of teaching. And coming into the summer and doing the internship, I shadowed every single person multiple times throughout the summer. And then when I started coaching on my own in the fall, it took me a couple months to really realize, like, okay, this is something I really liked from this coach. I'm going to take that. This other coach did this thing. I'm going to take that and start to define who I am as my coach.
Yeah. By the way, I love the fact I was like, how long have you been coaching? I felt like you were going to be like, yesterday. I started yesterday this journey, so I'm very fresh into
it. Feels does that it feel sometimes. That? Yeah. Like she just got here.
Okay. Well, you know, but that's an interesting thing too, like Cam and Chris, for both of you guys, whoever wants to step in right here. When you have a player like Annabelle who, you know, you've seen her progression as a player and now she's involved on the coaching side with you, is it difficult to kind of remove that, like still looking at her as like, I don't want to say a camper because, you know, young goalkeeper?
I'll be really honest. Annabelle has absolutely challenged every single coach in the facility, and I've truly never seen such a young talent at this level. Like, she is incredible.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Her ideas are evolutionary. I thought that I was like a talented young coach, and she has made me question so many different things in the way that I teach them. Like, I think it's so important that we keep inviting young minds and who's still in the game, because the game is changing 24/7. And if we aren't hearing the player's perspective, how do we get better? How do we reach them?
Speaking of that, let's get back to Chris here, because I want to talk about that feedback and communication. That's, I think, something that young coaches really have difficulty with, is not recognizing that they need to learn from their players too.
Yeah. Well, if you're not watching with an open mind, you can't help give kids feedback. Like, it's just not going to happen. And you also have a really hard time accepting feedback, right? I feel like sometimes we go into the space and we're already assuming what we want to see. We're already assuming what they're going to say, and we're already assuming what they're going to bring to the table or not bring to the table. So it doesn't allow us to be open to feedback, either from having a player that is also coaching or a player that's newer to the game. One of the things I love about getting to work with AB and even some other players that I've had at Drexel that have come through TKI as an intern or whatever, is now they sort of have an idea of what a coach brain looks like. So my communication to them is different than my communication to a player that doesn't understand it from a coaching perspective. So, but it's not a threat to me as a coach.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that's interesting is, you might have a player that knows more in one area than you. I don't understand why that would be threatening if you're secure. Yeah. Right. They know more than you in that area because they're constantly seeing the way the game is evolving, like Cam's talking about. So why don't we collaborate in the process and figure out what's the best way for me to support you? How do we change the way we're explaining certain things, or do we need to add new skills? So it's awesome.
And I think, you know, that's something in regards to, like, you know, like AB talking about kind of like, you know, you're in the playing environment right now. Like, talk about being freshly exposed to new coaching techniques, new coaching things constantly, because you're in the game that's currently evolving right now. Like, how important is it for a coach to listen to a player like yourself who maybe it's an older coach who hasn't experienced what you're experiencing right now and be open to that feedback to get the best out of you?
Yeah. I mean, I have two answers to that. Okay. First off, as a coach who's also a player, whenever I kind of think about a new point or a new perspective on something, I also think about it from a player perspective and how I would feel receiving that information. And that's something that's really helped me become the coach I am. Obviously, not all coaches can be players at the same time. So I think as a coach who's not a player, it's really important to be understanding a player's perspective and understanding how they're actually internalizing and understanding that information so that you can best support them in the ways they need.
Yeah. You know, Cam, you know, talking about what AB just said there, right there, in regards to like the fact that, like, you know, coaches that aren't playing right now, I think one of the biggest problems that we make when we are young coaches and we're not playing anymore is we start just thinking coach, 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 and not player, player, player mentality. And we just start doing everything conceptually. It's like, well, this is what we're supposed to do right now, this progression right there. But like when you were a player, like the fatigue that took, you just played that game the day before, or, oh, I had high school practice today too. Like, we have to take these things into consideration and empathize with these players and be able to be flexible with what we want out of that session.
Yeah, I think that coaching is one of the most selfless jobs in the world. It's not about you. It's not about the way that you're presenting. It's not about the way that you appear to have all of this knowledge. It's about reaching your player. If you can't reach your player, I don't care how much knowledge you have. It doesn't matter. It's not being imparted onto that next generation. And you cannot influence somebody or connect with somebody if you don't get to know them and care about their story and care about what they're going through. And if you don't, as a coach, ask, how do you expect your players to buy in to that you care about their development?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is that they need to know you care, you know. And Chris, how do we make sure that they, because I think a lot of the times players, they've either been environments where they've been burned before, you know, or they're just insecure, or they have trust issues from anything else going on in their lives. How do we make them? How do we still consider, you know, put ourselves in a position of leadership with them, but at the same time, they feel comfortable with us that we're there for them and are willing to share whatever we need from them?
Yeah, I think so. This is obviously challenging because it's uncomfortable. We don't like to sit with emotion. We don't like to sit with people's like stuff. So I think for coaches, if you're going to say you're open to your athletes' ability to bring their baggage, then you have to legitimately be open to that and make space for it and not say, okay, well, we don't have time for this because we got to train tomorrow. Legitimately, if the person matters more than a player, then that should dictate your priorities. That dictates your time. That dictates how you facilitate your team. That dictates what you know, put all of your stuff into. So I think, you know, a way to be able to make sure that players are want to be known by you, or that they are known, you know, you are known by them also, is just modeling it. You've got to model some vulnerability. You've got to model what it looks like to engage in challenging conversations also. And you really just have to make space. Like, coaches want to fill space with their own voice. If a kid's talking, like, sit and listen, be active, not just like quick to move to the next thing. So it's really just about making space for them, but modeling it, having some integrity in the way that you do it also.
So I love some of the stuff that you just said right there. I don't know if you guys, so Dan Abrahams just did, I don't know if you guys ever listened to a sports psych show, but he did a whole episode on vulnerability recently. And so many great things there. And I don't know, any of you guys watch Fargo, the show Fargo, by any chance?
I've seen Fargo.
Okay. Have you seen season 5, the recent season?
No.
So the whole theme of, and I don't want to spoil Fargo for anybody who's watching it out there, amazing show. But the whole theme this year has been about toxicity in regards to, like, how when you don't show vulnerability, when you're not willing to be trusting, how that potentially could lead to a lot of dangerous situations, you know. And obviously Fargo takes it to the nth degree. But I think the thing is that as coaches, you're only going to go as far as you're willing to be vulnerable and admit that you don't know everything, right, AB?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I actually speak on this from a player perspective?
Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I think before I came to college, I really saw like a successful player as somebody who was able to leave their emotions aside when they step on the field. And that was something that was really harmful to my game. And having come to TKI, where I'm surrounded by coaches who view people as people above players, and understanding that people have emotions and other things going on in their life, and that's going to impact how they're playing and feeling on a given day, I've really been able to step into like a new perspective and understand myself as a person and then a player. And that's helped with my growth tremendously.
So I love what you just said right there. And that's so eloquent. And, you know, and like, Cam, I think more young, like you're saying, look at this rock star. So many rock stars here. I mean, honestly, my head is exploding type of thing, but like that's that next level, right? That's that next level of understanding of like, we are going to have emotions. Like, if we try to pretend that they're not happening, we're just going to be in our heads.
Yeah. I mean, it's so harmful. I mean, how many times do you walk into a room and you're expected to put on this performance, right? And
literally every second I walk into a room.
Yeah. And you're exhausted. Yeah. And it's hard to manage mistakes. It's hard to manage emotions. If we don't create space for our athletes to feel safe in that and say, hey, we get it. You're not at 100% today. How can we support you and get the best out of this situation? That doesn't mean we don't care about performance. We do. We care about getting the best. But we also care about the fact that maybe their best is not exactly what it is every single day. And that's okay, because we love you, we support you, and we know you're talented. And it doesn't matter that your play may fluctuate at times.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Chris.
I was going to add, like, there's a difference between being resilient and being numb. And I think in sport, we want athletes, we want coaches to be numb. So, like, it's very Frozen 2, Elsa, conceal, don't feel kind of thing. What happens? She can't figure out how to do anything, and now she almost kills her sister, which is kind of what happens in sport, where we don't know how to deal with our emotions, and then they show up, right? They're always going to show up in a way that is completely inconvenient and out of our control. So I think it's what's most helpful for coaches. One, we have to model this first and foremost. But for athletes, it's, hey, your emotions are not the bad guy. As a matter of fact, I need to be able to utilize information from my emotions, utilize information from my intellects and my logical side of my brain, and be able to be a wise and intelligent athlete. I say this to these guys all the time. A mindful athlete is an intelligent athlete, which is a really, really great athlete. And you can't be mindful if you're not willing to be attuned to your emotions or even what's going on in your thought life. So it's got to be both. It can't just be one thing or the other.
Can I full circle this?
Yes.
Awesome. I think that if an athlete is able to be emotionally vulnerable, then you're putting them in a space where they can explore and make mistakes and learn from those mistakes and grow. So at TKI, we talk about emotional vulnerability a lot, because that puts all our athletes that walk in those doors in a space where they can make mistakes, and that's okay. And we want that, and we encourage that, and that's how they grow.
Yeah. See, and I love what you just said right there. And I think that's one of the things I think, you know, honestly, you know, we speak about the Keeper Institute here, you know, on this podcast, you know, and everything, you know, very, very highly. But I think one of the things that people take away from on a macro standpoint of TKI, regardless of whether it's goalkeeping or it's ballet dancing or whatever it is that if you create a space like that, an environment like that for a young person, they're going to succeed in life, because all these lessons get translated over into life. You know, yeah. Kim, I don't know if you want to speak.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Welcome to the business model. Here's the thing. TKI cares so much about character, and yes, success. Like, you're talking about success, but we don't care about success in this performance aspect or in this like sports aspect. We care about success in the way of like, is the athlete fulfilled? Are they happy? Do they feel content? Do they feel supported? Do they feel loved? Do they feel like if they walk in a room and they see us, they can approach us and know that we're there for them? And that is the actual message we're trying to spend. Like, sports is a really great vehicle for us to connect with young people. However, our message has so much more to do with the human rather than like, okay, you're a goalkeeper. Great. Welcome to the facility. Let's talk about your character.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like kind of as we start kind of wrapping everything up here, and I think, you know, this has been such a massive conversation, you know, and I'm glad I, you know, and thank you to Jill for offering this opportunity for you all to come on con right here, because this is really, really, for me, I'm growing from it. But Chris, just to talk to you about this right there, is that, like, I think that a lot of young coaches out there forget that there's a person outside of just the goalkeeper, and they never actually learn about that person. They only see them during their sessions. All they know about them is as a goalkeeper. And then they're like, it's the same thing as like an estranged parent. It's like, oh, you're into like you're into like blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, I didn't even know you were so into Marvel. And it's like, well, you never talked to me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sport culture, right? So sport culture in this consumerist sort of mindset benefits from you solely being a robot. That's a means to an end for me to be successful or whatever. It's almost like a fan mentality. That's why athletes experience things that they experience at the hand of fans. So I think for coaches, number one, you need to remember that you are a person and not just a coach also. And number two, that way, now let's have a conversation between you and your athlete, like really get to know them as people. Because to Cam's point, nobody cares how much you know unless they know how much you care, right? That's the adage, everybody knows it. So for young coaches and coaches anywhere, remind yourself like, hey, ultimately, who are you? It's not what you do. And you know that that's the case as a coach. So why not model that same behavior? Why not reinforce that same idea with your athletes? You are much more than being a goalkeeper. And as a matter of fact, what you do outside of goalkeeping is much more valuable, because your value is not limited to how many saves you can make today. So yeah, we just want to be mindful of that.
I feel like I'm at a motivational talk right now. Like, I'm feeling like so galvanized. Like, I want to go conquer the world right now. After all of this, I know a lot of you guys who've been at convention right now are exhausted. I know there's a lot going on and stuff like that, but I really, really, really encourage you. If you run into any of these young, fantastic, young coaches here, please give them a chat. They're always willing to talk. Right, Cam?
I'll never stop talking, ever.
That's true.
I wish there was an off button. I haven't found it. Chris has been trying to find it since I was like 14 and I was in the internship.
Yeah, true. That is true.
And AB's willing to talk. For the last 4 months, she's been learning how to talk. So she's good. She's good and ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just got the full sentences.
Oh my gosh. Guys, if you guys are not familiar, we will be at TKI next week at TKI San Diego. Fantastic, fantastic program going on. There's going to be TKI pros there. Little people like Kaylin Sheridan, Michelle Bates, a lot. Aubrey Kingsbury, like some people you may have heard of. Okay, continue.
No big deal.
No big deal whatsoever. But it's definitely worth checking it out, guys. If you don't know anything about it, just go to thekeeperinstitute.com. You can find out all the information about the clinic. Come out and see what the whole TKI philosophy is all about. Their methodology, if we want to use coach speak, right over there. And we're going to be doing some live shows there. So say hello to us. We'll be sharing the Union app with you guys. If you guys are not familiar with it, really, really cool platform. All about mentorship, all about engagement. Maybe one day these people will be mentors on there. I don't know. My agent's not here. My agent's over there talking to Jill. So I'll have to wait and find out what the verdict's going to be on all that stuff. Chris, if people want to connect with you, where's the best place?
Well, besides at TKI, you can hit me at Drexel. My email is dto32@drexel.edu. Follow me on Instagram, ludacris32.
All right. We'll put that in the show notes just in case you did not get that that quickly. AB, what about you? I don't know what the NCAA restrictions are on this kind of stuff now. Are you allowed to give away your information?
I have no idea. Okay. I mean, I assume so, but my email is aaustin@thekeeperinstitute.com.
Oh, my God. This is hilarious. So, Matt, I have to put this up on the screen right there.
No way.
Oh my God. Oh, Matt, that's hilarious, Matt. That is so funny. All right, guys, if you want to reach out to us, it's all obviously contact@insidetheatmedia.com. If you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union app, go to theuniongk.com. It's a landing page that has all the information on what the Union GK is all about. We're going to go rest our voices. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.